Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Absolute Broadcasting, its staff, or advertisers. It's time for Israel is Real. Two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. Rahel and Sonia focus on life in modern 21st century Israel, telling the stories of ordinary people living in, loving, and in support of an extraordinary land. Israel is Real is a community-supported program featuring interviews with local, national, and international celebrities, personal life stories, and call-ins. Learn a new Hebrew word every week. Israel is Real. Every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. on 1590 WSMN. Nashua's News and Talk. And now, your hosts, Rahel and Sonia.
Good morning. This is Israel is Real. And my name is Rahel. And this is...
Sonia.
Boker Tov lekol ha'mazinim.
Tzoharaim tovim v'Yisrael.
From WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. We are a community-supported program. That means that we depend on your support to stay on the air. And we'd like to extend our thanks to all of those who love and support our efforts on behalf of spreading the good news about a little country called Israel. So far, we've raised $2,075. Hasn't changed since last week, so I urge you to
welcome
help us
this.
To welcome that and raise that number up a little bit more. So our goal is for $5,600 this year to keep us on the air, so please keep those donations coming. You can find us at www.israelisreal.weebly.com. That's israelisreal.weebly.com. You can email us at israelisreal1590@gmail.com, israelisreal1590@gmail.com. And I would like to announce that as of next week, our time will be from, we're having a time change, and we'll be on the air from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock in the morning. In Israel, that will be 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. if you're listening in Israel. So please keep that in mind. And one of our sponsors is Vision.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel and informs you of how its technical advances personally benefit you? Did you know that Israeli scientists have developed a way to use white blood cells from healthy donor blood to stimulate the patient's own body to complete the healing process, especially for complication following surgery? To receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about Vision educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision's website at www.newhampshireforisrael.org. That's www.nh4israel.org.
Thank you, Sonia. And we are in the habit of beginning our show with telling you about a Hebrew word. And our Hebrew word today is brit. If you're Ashkenazi accent, it would be bris. Mm-hmm. So the word brit, Sonia, what can you tell us about it?
Well, from the Torah, we have two kinds of brit, two kinds of britot. First of all, brit means covenant. The first one, it's brit milah, which is appear in Genesis. And it's God which is telling Avram to make a personal covenant between him and God.
So it's the first revelation of the one God.
Right. And this is what we are doing till today to the newborns in the eighth day after they are born.
8 days after birth. I remember it.
Me too.
I mean, not me personally,
not
but
me for my
children.
Kids. Yeah. And another brit is brit bein habtarim, which is actually God telling Abraham that the people of Israel will go to Egypt and they will be enslaved for 400 years. But when they will get out from Egypt, they will be free and with a great wealth. This is the Torah staring us about Britot.
We're still waiting, right?
Yes.
For the great wealth
part. Yes. Another kind of Brit, it's Brit Nisuin, the covenant of marriage.
Marriage. Right.
But because we have a special guest today, we will speak about B'nai Brit. Means a covenant made by and between human beings.
Thank you. So that's a Brit.
Right.
And which we you mentioned we have a special guest. And our special guest today is Reverend Thomas Peets. Reverend Peets, or Pastor Peets, is a senior pastor of the Word of Life Christian Fellowship Church, which is a it's early in the morning. Okay, we'll start again. Pastor Peets is a senior pastor of the Word of Life Christian Fellowship Church, a non-denominational Christian family church that he and his wife actually pioneered 20 years ago, which is in Concord, New Hampshire. Pastor Peets grew up in the American heartland, he's come far, in Nebraska, moved to Maine, where he met his wife, and then and lived in Vermont, where he and his wife also ministered, and also ministered in Haiti, and following which they moved to New Hampshire, where in 1989 they pioneered and grew their fellowship. Pastor Peets is also the regional director of CUFI, which is Christians United for Israel. And we're going to hear about that, but in just to give you a general idea, the purpose of the Christians United for Israel organization is to provide a national association through which every pro-Israel church, parachurch organization, ministry, or individual in America can speak and act with one voice in support of Israel in matters related to biblical issues. With all of that, we welcome Pastor Tom Peets. Shalom, Pastor Peets.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. And it's an honor to be here this morning with you and be on this program to talk about the things concerning Israel.
It's great. I just before we get started, I need to just mention that I think it was three years ago, that I was invited to your church. Actually, you were holding a Night to Honor Israel event.
That's correct. October 2007.
And I was invited to sing Hatikva, Israel's national anthem, and that was my first experience with an event of this sort. And I have to say, like, it was really exciting to be part of it. There were Christians and Jews both attending. Yep. There were Christian and Jewish speakers. And that night, the keynote speaker was actually Pastor John Hagee himself. And I have to say, first of all, he's an electrifying speaker. And I remember just I was in the congregation and listening and hearing. And when he said, "Everybody take out your checks," I took mine out. I was so inspired. And I made a donation. And the nicest part about that evening for me as a Jew was that the donations that night, I believe, was collected maybe $25,000.
Yes.
And it was all going to an organization called Nefesh B'Nefesh.
That's right.
Which is a Jewish organization that brings, helps people make Aliyah to immigrate and emigrate to Israel. So it was really exciting to be part of that whole experience. It was very, very nice. So I thank you for having me that night and letting me, you know, get a glimpse of what you're doing. So maybe you could tell us, first of all, a bit about yourself.
Well, that's, well, I grew up in Nebraska. I was born in Hawaii, which sometimes I have fond memories of during this time of year. Then I was raised in Nebraska, and after graduating from the University of Nebraska in 1977, I was compelled to come to New England. And I came out to Vermont. I helped a brother of mine move to Vermont, Burlington, Vermont. He was doing his residency and chose Burlington, Vermont, of all places, to do his residency. Some people in Vermont or Nebraska wanted to know what state Vermont was in. Their geography was a little limited, but anyway, we We came out to Vermont, helped him move out there, and I fell in love with the country and moved myself out. And it wasn't about maybe 2 weeks after I got here that the Lord just really changed my life, turned me around. And that's kind of what, you know, started me on the road to ministry. And I was trained in theater. I was had my degree in acting, and I was trying to pursue that.
I understand you were in a film, too.
Yeah, we had the opportunity in 1993 and 1994 to do some Westerns down in Oklahoma. And I was involved with a Western in 1993. We filmed it down in the western part of Oklahoma. It was a two-hour motion picture movie. I played the ramrod of the bad guys, a character named Reno. All the good guy roles were all taken up, so I had to play a bad guy. And it was fun. It was, we got a chance to play cowboys and Indians, you know, growing up.
So that we've got about 2 minutes before we take a break already, but I understand something changed your life. You had some kind of an epiphany, if you want to.
Yes. That was when I came out here in Vermont. And, you know, you get around this beauty in Vermont in the summer and the fall, and the beauty of New England and New Hampshire and different parts, and you just, it just reminds you that this didn't just happen. And as much as a lot of people try to make them think that it did, you know, there was a creator, there was a plan behind it. And anyway, that's kind of what led me to seek and change my life, and I began to study for ministry. And in that course of studying, I came across truths and different things and realized how important Israel is to my faith. And if it wasn't for Israel, I wouldn't have the Christian faith. You know, the writers of our Bible are all Jews. And the first family of the Christian faith are all Jews. You know, I have to remind some of my Catholic friends that Mary was Jewish and not Catholic.
Was she Miriam, maybe?
her name actually, you know, I had to tell them also that some of these names in the Bible, you know, like John and Mary and stuff, their Hebrew names are different. I mean, they're their original names. They weren't Mary. It wasn't John or Mary. It was Miriam, like you said, and Yochanan for John. And when you begin to see that, you see that, you know, there's a whole different side here. You weren't told. It begins to really help you understand and appreciate more what you have. And you come to appreciate Israel and all the Jews. And so that's kind of what, and it starts way back when I was a child. When I look back far enough, I can see how the Lord was dealing with me concerning the Jewish roots that every one of us Christians have. Mm. Our roots are Jewish.
What kind of signs, if you're looking in retrospect?
Well, just in going back, like when I was a kid, my parents took us. We had nine kids in our family.
Mazel tov. Yeah,
yeah. And we, for one vacation we went out to the western part of Nebraska and to the state park called Chadron State Park. And while we were out there, my mother, who was quite adventurous, she took a bunch of us out to a drive-in movie, and I remember sitting up in this car trying to stay awake watching this movie, and it was Exodus.
Oh.
and this was when I was just a youngster, and I remember that movie and the things that it did, and then seeing movies like Ben-Hur and things depicting the land of Israel and so forth, and the Jews and their struggle in different times, and then, of course, the Ten Commandments and different things that Hollywood attempted to do, which, you know, was a start. And it began the process of helping me. And it really did something to me, I remember, as a young child. And I never forgot it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. We're speaking with Pastor Tom Peets, and we are going to cut out for a break right now. And when we come back, we'll hear more. This is WSMN Radio, 1590, Israel is Real.
Come to the house of the Lord, standing here in your gates again. Up to Jerusalem, oh, I was glad when they said to me, come to the house of the Lord, stand here.
1590 WSMN.
And WSMNradio.com.
Made it to the corner office sooner than most. Workaholic. Bought the house of our dreams and finally took the family on a well-deserved vacation. Who would have thought that our lives could be tripped up by a gland the size of a walnut? Prostate cancer. I was so busy moving up that I missed the most important meeting of my life, the one with my doctor.
Talk to your doctor about being screened for prostate cancer. Log on to nhprostatecancer.org.
Mormart will be hosting a spring Easter care package for the troops event for March 4th through the 6th, and your donations are vital to make this project a success. Mormart is a nonprofit volunteer organization whose mission is to send care packages to members of our armed services serving in the Middle East. And to date, Mormart has shipped over 24,000 care packages to servicemen and women serving overseas. For details on how to donate care package items, cash, or volunteer, go to mormart.org. That's mormart.org.
Hey, Nicole, I'm home.
Hey, honey, how was your day?
Not bad. They gave flu vaccines at work today. I got one because I really can't afford to get sick and miss work this year. And my boss was telling us about his nephew. He was a healthy kid who caught the flu and died last year.
Oh, that's awful. I was talking with my friend Maria today, and she says that her kids get vaccinated every year. Her doctor recommends it for the whole family. I already called our kids' doctor to get them vaccinated. I'll ask him to vaccinate me, too.
Sounds good. Why take the risk of getting sick? It makes sense for all of us to be protected.
Seasonal influenza is a serious disease that kills about 36,000 Americans each year and results in more than 200,000 hospitalizations, including over 20,000 children. Health officials recommend annual vaccination for all kids 6 months through 18 years. Get fluent. Learn the flu facts. Visit PreventChildhoodInfluenza.org.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Trouble on Rock Hill.
Ain't nothing like running up and down Rock Hill.
Hey, let's move this rock.
Whoa! Sassy, Johnny's stuck under that rock. Yeah, girl, go tell Mr. Gunderson to bring his truck. You'll tell him, but only after you dispel a stereotype associated with shelter pets? People think shelter pets come with lots of initial veterinary costs?
It's dusty under here.
But in reality, most shelter pets have been vaccinated, neutered, and microchipped in case they get lost.
My pants ripped.
Sassy, Johnny needs help. What Johnny really needs is more discipline and better parental supervision. You use big words, Sassy.
Still under the rock.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
There's no limit on the amount of information you can download from us. We're 1590 WSMN.
We're back on WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk, with Israel is Real. We are two Israelis putting a human face on all things Israel. And I want to remind everybody that as of next week, our time change will be airing and broadcasting at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's 5 o'clock in Israel. So also remind everybody that we are always fundraising every week, so please send your donations. You can visit us at israelisrael.weebly.com, israelisrael.weebly.com. One of our mainstays, and we are eternally grateful for our ongoing sponsors such as Vision, another one is Vern Main. Countries depend for much of their success and security on their intellectual prowess and advanced technology. Many companies from here and abroad depend on the patent attorneys at Vern Main and Associates to obtain U.S. or global patent protection for their new ideas. Vern Main and Associates is an intellectual property law firm right here in Nashua. For professional legal counseling on all intellectual properties, contact the legal specialists at Vern Main & Associates at their offices here in Nashua at 100 Main Street, or you can find them on the web at vernmain.com. That's www.vernmaine.com, vernmain.com. And we're speaking today with Pastor Thomas Peets from Concord. And we were mentioning about an organization that you are the regional director of, I understand, and that's CUFI, Christians United for Israel. Can you tell us about this organization?
Well, this was an organization that was started by Pastor John Hagee. He recognized, and he attempted to do this a number of years earlier, and it just didn't go. He invited a number of pastors over, leaders, and he shared the vision, and only one man stayed with him as they broke and went on a little break. The rest of them left.
I think that this is because maybe he is another generation, and he was able to see the suffering from the survivors which came in the United States after the Holocaust.
Well, I know that when he tells the story, he talks about when he was just a young lad, that he was in his house when he heard the radio announcement come on, and he saw his dad weep when they announced Israel had become a nation. And he sensed the significance of that just through his dad. And then he began to, come up in him, and he took his first trip to Israel in 1978, and he was over by the wall praying at the wall, and he talks about how he saw that rabbi praying there, and it dawned on him he was praying to the same God he was praying to, but they had nothing in common other than that, and their connection was just really limited. And he left that place and went back to the States and went and bought all kinds of books, began to study and the history, and out of that came a heart for the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. and then in 2006, he made an announcement. He recognized the time is now. And he called a lot of leaders together in February 2006, and a number of people came together. I was not there. I had heard about it, but I wasn't able to get down there. And then they had their first rally in Washington, D.C. that year, 2006. And remember, Israel went into, they had the Lebanon War that year, which really brought an awareness to everybody. And so we had around 5,000 people in Washington, D.C. And it was the big buzz in D.C. too that night. The Bush administration, a number of his people and said, wanted to know what was going on. And they even asked for the video and of the night. And it went on for over 4 hours, the event itself. And it was quite the time. But that was the start. And Christians United for Israel, in a definition, it is a national association of pro-Israel churches and para-church organizations, ministries, and individuals across America who have chosen to speak and act with one voice in support of Israel in matters related to biblical issues. You know, and it really is, there are a lot of, as you well know, Rachel and Sonia, there are a number of Christian organizations that are doing wonderful things for Israel.
Yes, we've spoken to a lot of people, yes. And we're finding that out.
There's a lot.
Good.
But what makes this organization different in one aspect, it is much, and it's been influenced a lot by AIPAC. When I listen to... AIPAC is the Jewish lobbying organization in America for Israel.
Right.
And it is the second most influential AIPAC lobbyist in America that I'm told of this. AARP is number one, and reason for that is probably the numbers they have. They have a whole lot more numbers than AIPAC. But AIPAC has streamlined, and they are very effective. They know what they're doing, and they're sharp. And so Pastor Hagee, being a wise man that he is, didn't want to go reinvent the wheel. He used a lot of what they've done. And so he's kind of patterned this organization a lot after this, and you'll see that it's become a great lobbying organization. You may say it that way, but it goes to the grassroots of America, and that's really your effectiveness in this nation, in getting policy put forth. And that's what we're all about. We're all about to educate the Christian people of the importance of supporting and why we should support Israel. If we're truly Christian, why we need to support Israel and stand by her like never before. And not just Israel, our Jewish neighbors. Not just the people over across the sea in the land of the Promised Land, but also our Jews, our Jewish friends in this country itself. We have to extend a hand and not trying to put a track in their hand, but just reach out a hand in love and understanding them and let them know that we're with them. We're with them through thick and thin. But one of the focuses of CUFI is we focus in our July meeting in Washington, D.C., to bring people from all over every congressional district in this country down to Washington, D.C., to hear some speakers, to hear some talking points, and then on the same day, usually it's Wednesday of that week, we hit Capitol Hill on the same day. You got thousands of people hit the Capitol Hill on the same day, all their representatives, same three talking points, and looking sharp, dressing nice, just speaking very clear and simple, and not talking about any other issue except Israel. In the words of Joe Lieberman, Senator Joe Lieberman, he told us, you don't realize in the short period that you've been in existence, the effectiveness you've become. And that's just one man that has been really something for us to even be around. That Senator Joe Lieberman, mm-hmm. who was raised Orthodox.
Right.
Most Christians just know him as somewhat of a liberal senator from Connecticut. But I'm telling you, there's something special about that man. And when he speaks at our conventions, he is like a different man.
Is he?
Oh, he came up on the platform 2 years ago. He was our keynote speaker. He showed up kind of right at the time of the thing that has been. When he came on the stage, 5,000 people, most of them were Christians, a lot of them they're Jews, stood up on their feet to give him a standing ovation. And he got up on the platform, put his hands up to calm the people down. Finally, when they got calmed down, he said, "All I can tell you is my name is Joseph, and I'm your brother." Now you
biblical,
yes. Biblical verse. It was well, yeah. And when he began to speak, Sonia, he began to speak like a rabbi. He took scriptures out of the prophet Isaiah and different places and began to preach to us. And I turned to a friend of mine who is a very prominent minister, and I told her, I said, "You know, I don't know if he ever has a chance to speak like this in any other place." And then just a few minutes later, out of his mouth, he said, "I don't even talk this way with my Jewish friends." But he is something else. He's just one of them. We have a number of these Jewish leaders that have spoken at our meetings, and they have been tremendous. And they are helping educate us Christians from a Jewish perspective about these things. And it's been a wonderful marriage, as Pastor Hagee said, and I think he got it from a Jewish author there. He said, "A marriage made in heaven."
Brit.
Yeah.
It's Brit.
Yeah, Brit. It's like the word the one you were talking about, the covenant.
Speaking about education, I would like to know how you are educate the new generation, the kids.
Well, one of the things that we have a young man in our organization called Andrew Summey, and this is just from Christians United for Israel, what we're doing. Andrew Summey is a tremendous young man. He is very effective with that age group. They are going and targeting college campuses because...
This is really tough.
The college campuses on America are like mission fields, in a sense, in understanding what Israel's all about. And if we don't reach them to tell them why we need to reach out to our Jewish friends and our Israeli friends, and let them know they're part of us. See, our history, people aren't getting taught accurate history. The history of this great nation, those leaders that we esteem highly, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, those men that wrote our sacred documents, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, you know, these men were influenced by Israel, by Jewish men. And to the extent that our seal in our great nation is the seal of an eagle, with clustering 13 arrows in one of its talons, you know, and this is our seal of our nation, but it barely won out over Moses crossing the Red Sea. Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson wanted to put Moses crossing the Red Sea with the children of Israel behind him as the seal of this great country because they understood. Now, this was founded by Christian leaders, but they had help from Jewish leaders, Jewish people. Chaim Solomon being one of them, the Jewish young Jewish man that came over from Poland that helped finance George Washington and the army there, the revolution. A tremendous story in history there. And the support that Washington got also from the Jews down in the island right off St. Martin's, an island over there, trying to remember the name of it, but one of the Caribbean islands. There's a synagogue there today, but it caused so much problems for the English that they had to send as part of their fleet down there to deal with them. And in doing that, it helped Washington win the battle here. It stretched the English too thin, and Washington was able to gain the victory. But see, there's a lot of stuff people aren't told. The Israel contribution to the establishment of this great nation. See, many of them saw that this was going to be a haven for them before Israel was birthed, rebirthed. But Christians United for Israel is an organization to help educate, especially the Christian community, of why we have to stand with her. And we have to do everything within our means as a nation of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people to educate the people to go and make their voice heard in Washington, D.C. to our leaders would continue to stand by Israel, no matter who's in the White House. And we need to stand by Israel, especially in this day when we have a wild man loose up there, Ahmadinejad. That is threatening to wipe Israel off the map. Anyway.
Okay, I know that your community put together trip to Israel.
Yes.
For kids as well.
Yes, and see, this is one of the things I was saying, and I kind of got off track a little bit. And forgive me. See,
You're pulling us in here.
I'm a little excited about this, and we are educating. This last year, they took a group of young people to Poland and then into Israel.
The Mitzad HaChaim. They do the, Mitzad HaChaim?
The Walk of Life.
Yes.
The Walk of Life.
Yes, they took him into Poland because, you know, they're hearing this rhetoric coming from different places that, you know, the Holocaust was this or the Holocaust wasn't this or the Holocaust never even happened. People are even throwing that out there, such as this man over there in Iran. They take these young people over there and let them see for themselves these places, this atrocity that took place so many years ago. And we will not allow that to happen again. But we have to educate, show these people. And then they take them to Israel and they show them Israel. And one of the big things that we do to try to educate not just the young people, but for the, you know, anybody, any Christians, take them to Israel. Let them see the land. Let them see and let them hear the Israeli people themselves and see the great sites, the sites that we deem are very special, the Christians, you know, and let them see the sites of the biblical Old Testament, different things. It helps verify what they've actually believed, and it really does something to them. They can't come out of there not changed or affected.
It also counters the propaganda and the misinformation that
yes.
they hear. All around this country and in other places.
That's exactly
right. On the campuses
right.
that they confront and encounter.
And see, and it goes back when you teach them, especially, and you asked me a question earlier about the evangelicals and why the evangelicals are the way they are. The evangelicals, they look at the Bible as the holy written word of God. Now, we as Christians believe the New Testament is that also. And when you go over there and you see these things, it verifies that scripture. When you see all the history laid out, it helps them, and it helps them understand who they are and who the Jews and the Israelis are, and what that's all about. There was another point I was going to make, and it just escaped me. But I will; it'll come back to me.
Well, you have time to think about it because we actually have to break, and we'll come back with Pastor Tom Peets. And talking about Christians United for Israel on WSMN 1590. This is Israel is Real.
Is like you, oh 1590 WSMN.
And WSMNradio.com.
This week on the Talking Money Show with Ed Benway from the Metro Wealth Private Client Group, it'll give you a recap on all the taxes, plus a look at earnings, and a deep conversation on Roth IRA conversions, plus we'll get down and dirty with the fixed index annuities. If you have an email question of the week, send it off. It's ebenway@measuredwealth.net, and join us for the Talking Money Show here on the Talking Money Radio Network.
Talking Money, Saturday morning at 8 on 1590 WSMN, Nashua's News and Talk.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Folks, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle called. Speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun. Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
40 kilometers northwest of Kandahar, Afghanistan, at a remote desert military base, American soldiers are playing video games. There are cold drinks, coffee, snacks, and comfy chairs. There's an internet connection, a putting green, frisbees, and footballs. There are DVDs, books, games, and guitars. There are toothbrushes, shaving cream, body wipes, and shampoo. This is today's USO. It's the USO to Go program, with all of the above and more, selected and ordered directly by the troops themselves, packaged and shipped anywhere in the world. Today, it's just one of the ways the USO supports our troops, lifts their spirits, and serves as the link between them and the American people. People just like you. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO, until everyone comes home.
The full moon lights the silver rails winding around dark mountains and over steep gorges of jagged rock and one freezing cold rushing black mountain river. I wish there was enough time to describe all of the funny twists and turns that led up to now, but there isn't enough time because there's a ticking clock and the two passengers we care most about don't know anything about it. To see what happens next, visit read.gov to read The Exquisite Corpse, a riveting adventure pieced together by John Sheska, Shannon Hale, Daniel Handler, and other popular authors. Explore new worlds. Read. Brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
You're receiving Downtown Nashua's other free wireless service. No computer required. We're 1590 WSMN.
We're back with Israel is Real. We're on the air every Friday starting next week from 10 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock. That's 5 p.m. in Israel right now with the time difference. This is WSMN 1590, Nashua's News and Talk. And we're speaking today with Pastor Tom Peets. We're going to just remember one of our sponsors, and we'll get back to Pastor Tom Peets.
Did you know that Vision is an organization that educates our community about the little country of Israel? Did you know Israel is approximately about the size of New Jersey? To receive Vision's emails alert and be informed about the Vision educational activities and opportunities, please visit Vision website at www.NewHampshireForIsrael.org. That's www.NH4Israel.org.
Well, I feel like I'm spamming, but I do need to remind people that we are on the air with your support, so please keep the donations coming, and you can find us at www.israelisrael.weebly.com, israelisrael.weebly.com. Pastor Tom Peets of the Word of Life Church in Concord and the regional representative of Kufi, Christians United for Israel. Would you like to continue where we left off?
Sure. You know, we were talking about some of the differences between this organization and other organizations that are doing wonderful things for Israel. But one of the things that sets us apart is that, one of the things we do, we hold Night Honor Israel in different cities across the country. We've done over 100 of them since the inception of this organization. And it's to bring people together, honor the things of Israel, and raise money at that event to send to a charity in Israel that's been approved, that's in Israel, and those things. And then we do these Standing with Israel meetings that we go around to different parts of the country, and we gather pastors together, and we bring in a speaker and to help show. It's about an hour long, and it's to educate and show the pastors the importance of this whole thing. And see, these are all gearing them and pointing them toward the event in D.C. in July. See, that's the thing. And then we organize from the congressional level, the grassroots level, every congressional district in the country, and try to get people in representation from those congressional districts and get them down into D.C. on that particular time, that week. And we encourage people to take a meaningful vacation, a vacation with purpose, and get them down to D.C. They're using a lot of different methods to get them down there, up in the Northeast in different areas where we're a little bit closer than some, like from West Coast, some. We are looking at renting buses and doing things. You know, we have the Amtrak also in Southwest, have great flights into Baltimore, and just getting people down there. It is an experience that they'll never forget, but we get them into that.
If it's anything like the Night to Honor Israel, I will never forget that.
Well, so, as you said that, Rachel, there was a lot of apprehension to that, because amongst the Jewish community, you well know, and I'm learning more and more, that the history between the two people are not really good. The history that about the Jewish history and the Christian history has not been good over throughout the years and the centuries. You know, when you look at the Crusades, the Inquisition, the pogroms, the Holocaust, and all these things that were done to the Jews in the name of the cross, you could see why the Jewish people have been hesitant and apprehensive about getting involved with the Christians. There was always kind of a ulterior motive or something, and their lives a lot of times were at stake. But this organization, like other organizations, there is a genuine move going on right now, and no man can take credit for it.
And as you said, it's from the heart.
Yes.
And if I might interject just for a moment, the thing that I liked that I saw from that event and all the things that you're doing is that you're not just talking about it. You're doing it and you're putting it into action. I've seen the money go. I've seen the good things that these organizations that you're supporting do, and you're taking action, not just talking.
Well, these organizations are all Jewish organizations that we're supporting. And as you well know, as you mentioned, Nefesh Betefesh, when we were there, we took up and see the way the way I got the Federation to work with me on that. They were, the leader of the leadership of the Federation were a little apprehensive. They weren't sure what we were up to. And so I encouraged them to come, and I said, we're going to raise this money, and I'm going to make the check out to the Federation for the Federation to give it to the organization. So they had to come. They had to send representation to receive the check. And the gentleman that came, trying to remember his first name. There's Brian. Was it Brian?
I don't remember.
It might have been Brian. I'm not sure.
Forgive me if. But anyway, the gentleman was very apprehensive. He told me about this, and then he wrote me a letter after the event. He told me how it just so amazed him, and how appreciative he was from the moment he drove on the property to where my parking lot guys directed him to park. My greeters greeted him at the door, and my usher sat him in his seat, and they didn't even know who he was. We didn't have a picture of him, so we weren't sure who he was that was coming, but they ended up seated him right in a nice spot. And when he saw the whole program, when he saw the speakers, when he heard the singing, and then saw the money being raised, he was so taken up by it. And as were many of the Jewish and the local Jewish people that came, were so affected. But this is the thing, like you said, we are not just talking the talk. We're trying to walk the walk.
Right.
And it's by the example of Pastor and Diana Hagee that have given over, I don't know how many millions of dollars, 40-some millions of dollars to
great
these organizations. Every year they are putting money into different places in Israel and helping the Israeli people.
And believe me, we're all grateful, and they're grateful over there. It's incredible the work that you're doing. Can you tell? Sorry, go ahead.
Can I just say this?
Yes.
If there's any pastors out there, or if there's any people that know pastors or want to get them involved in our area of New Hampshire or New England, they can go to our webpage. It's wordoflifenh.org, or they can and they should find our email on there. And if they email us there, they can contact us, and we can set up a Standing with Israel luncheon. And get the ball rolling and try to get that was a big deal. We like to direct to pastors and leaders, and not just, you can be a congregational representative. You can be a person that just attends church and want to get involved. We have a place for there. Go to CUFI's website is www.cufi.org, and you can click on the appropriate places there and sign up to be a congregational representative, and to make your voice heard and to get involved yourself.
Excellent, excellent. We'll repeat that again, make sure that people can get in contact with you. I know that you've been in Israel, and can you tell us what that was like, your first experience and then your consequent experiences, and why? What do you love best about Israel?
Well, there's no place like Israel. I have to tell people this, and they think I'm weird, and they think I'm crazy, and I'm concerned and considered in many of my pastors' groups and fellowships as the Israel guy. That's how they call me. I'm the Israel guy. But I don't care. I love Israel. Israel is, we've talked to some of the old rabbis over there, and they told me they believed that when God formed Adam and Adam out of the dust of the earth, it was on that rock where Abraham took the knife to sacrifice Isaac. That place is so sacred there. You see so much of the history around that place. And when Solomon built the temple, the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, sat over that rock. And right now, the Dome of the Rock sits there right now. But anyway, see, that whole area, that land of Israel, when I was first going there in 1998, my wife and I had our first opportunity to go there. I've been there four times. But when we were in the air, Rachel and Sonia, when we were in the air looking out the window, we could see the land. I can't explain the goosebumps and what it was doing to me, just being able to. And then when you land and you get out and touch the ground and you get into the place, and then you begin to see this place, this special piece of property that God had reserved for him from the onset. And he set Israel right in the intersection of the world in that day. If you look at the old maps and see if...
Geopolitical, if we are speaking from the geopolitical point of view, this is why we have so many tensions.
Yeah.
It's not for laugh. This is one of the geopolitical ideas.
Well, see, I have this old map that has, it looks like a three-leaf clover. One clover is Europe, one leaf is Europe, one leaf is Asia, and the other one is Africa. And in the middle is Israel, is that little landmass that they have to go through to get to any of those places.
Right.
God stuck Israel in the middle, in the intersection of that. And that was for a reason. They would have to go by and they would see Israel and how blessed they were and how prosperous they were, and that wonderful, and they would want, God wanted them to, be like them. He wanted them to ask questions. How are you like that? And so forth, but that is so, it just, Israel is a very special place.
I think people today are beginning to ask those questions again.
Yes.
Just tell us, we've got about 1 minute, and we usually do a Torah portion, so we've got to get to that, but what do you love best then?
In Israel?
In Israel, yeah. What was your most favorite experience?
Well, I'll tell you, I love the Lake Kinneret area. The Christians call it the Sea of Galilee, but accurately,
Kinneret.
It's the Lake Kinneret. Comes from the word kinnor, which is a harp.
Uh-huh.
And that part of Israel is so beautiful. See, I could understand. See, in Jesus' ministry, he spent a lot of time up there, and I could understand that. That is a beautiful place.
It's very New Hampshire-like.
Oh, it's wonderful. And then And down in the South and the Negev and different places, it's just a, you know, it's hard to say what's my best, but Jerusalem is probably my most precious place. There's nothing
Agreed.
Like Jerusalem.
Right. There is nothing like Jerusalem. The energy there, and God is definitely in Jerusalem.
Well, you know, and Rahel, you know, the Jerusalem is a 9-letter word. And if you look at the 3 letters in the middle of Jerusalem, I don't think it's put there by coincidence.
Uh-oh, that's a riddle.
Now, you spell Jerusalem.
Wait a minute, I have to think there for a minute.
It's the Yud.
Okay. Thank you. We like to thank Pastor Tom Peets for being with us today. And again, you can find out more at the Word of Life, www.wordoflifenh.org. And if you want to get involved with Christians United for Israel, it's www.cufi.org. Our Torah portion this week is
Yitro. As the sun is setting in Israel and in New Hampshire, we will soon welcome Shabbat. Our Torah portion this week is Yitro. And this week's portion, we find the Israelites have escaped slavery and are now living in the desert, where Yitro, Moses' father-in-law, brings Moses' family to join him. In Shemot, Exodus, we learn first that Moses, or Moshe, and the Tzipporah have a son they named Gershom, which means stranger, in another place, not home. Moshe Rabbeinu did not feel at home in Egypt. Jews quite often feel that. Even in a place we call home, it is possible to feel like a guest. Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanos explained that by Moses calling his son Gershom stranger in a strange land, we learn that embracing our status as stranger is extremely valuable. Avram and David all call themselves Ger, stranger. By calling themselves strangers, they sought to embrace a situation that likely made them terribly uncomfortable. Torah teaches us that we are all visitors on God's earth. Perhaps we are made to feel uncomfortable so that we will connect to the bigger picture, which is God. As Jews, we embrace Gershom's name, and it's fit the courage to walk through this world as Jews who strive to connect to community and God. Shabbat Shalom from Israel, Israel.
We're Rachel and Sonia, two Israelis putting the Jewish Israeli face on all things Israel. And remember to listen to us 10 a.m.
News of the day.
Because communication is the beginning of understanding.
1590 WSMN, Nashua.